I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a few minutes this morning. If the Lord would help us. These are some things that Moses wrote about here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is what the Holy Spirit inspired him to say. Chapter 6, he says, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments that the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. They're about to go into Canaan's land. Okay, right after Moses dies, Joshua's going to lead them into Canaan's land. But this is some of the last thoughts, you know, that Moses is leaving with the Lord's people here. He says, I want you to remember these, all these commandments that I have taught you and the statutes of God, that you might fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and commandments that I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Did you notice he just mentioned three generations in one sentence? He mentioned three separate generations that I want to remember these very same things. And I find that's a pattern in God's word, is that God wants us to teach these things to our children and that they may see and understand what we're doing here and why we come to this place and why this place is so important. And that's a pattern that we find. And he says, he just mentioned three generations. Verse 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It sounds to me like Moses is saying, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we should be thinking about God's words at every waking moment. We should be thinking about the words of God and his commandments and his statutes and his judgments all the day long. We should start our day that way, waking up in the morning and thinking about the goodness of God and those things that he's written for us, and he's preserved his words for us, that we're reading the words inspired by God today. The very same words. Not some similar words, but the very same words. If you believe Psalms 12 and God said he was going to preserve his words from this generation forever, and I believe it. But he says that we ought to teach them diligently to our children, and we ought to be talking about them. I dare say probably all of our households and our homes today, we probably could do a better job about talking about God's word. I feel like I have a lot of lost opportunities in my life when my children were younger, and I probably missed a lot of good opportunities to talk about God's word that I didn't get it done. And you know, the sad thing is I can't go back and get that time again. I can't reclaim it. It's gone. But it's so important. He says, I want you to diligently teach these things to thy children. Talk of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking, when you're lying down, and when you rise up. He says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. We talked about that a while back, about the Orthodox Jews, how that they have taken this so literally that they will literally take pieces of scripture. And this is one of them, by the way. There's two passages out of Deuteronomy, and there's two out of, I forget the other two, but they'll take four passages of scripture and they'll write those down on little pieces of paper, and they'll get these little leather boxes. And you may have seen a picture of this, but they'll put those little pieces of scripture inside of this box, a little square box, and they'll wear it with a strap around their head. They'll wear it on their forehead. And it's a little square box, and it's got scripture inside of it. That's what a phylactery is. A frontlet or a phylactery is basically the same thing. They would actually wear scripture on their forehead, trying to symbolizing the putting God's scripture in their mind, they're thinking about it. And they'd wear it on their arm as well. But he says, you'll bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they'll be like frontlets between their eyes. You will write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Anything we can do to help us not be distracted by the things of this world, and that we might focus and think upon God's word more and more and the importance of it. Friends, this world's going in a direction, I'll tell you, I don't want any part of it. And I hope you don't either. I hope you want to go in a different direction. I hope you want to stay true and follow the narrow way that leads unto life and joy and peace in the Lord's church and in his kingdom. Pray you'll continue to do that, but I pray that we'll teach our children these things too. Do you remember just a short time later when God blessed the children of Israel to go into the promised land and Joshua led them in there? Just a short time later as they went in, and you read this over in the book of Joshua, and when they crossed that Jordan River, do you remember what happened? You remember that the priest went in carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the priest stepped in that water, and what happened? The water began to separate, and the water began to stack up, and the Israelites were able to cross the Jordan River and go in to Canaan's land on dry ground there. Huge number of Israelites. But do you remember what God had them do? God had Joshua choose out a man from each tribe, and they had those 12 men to go down into the riverbed where they crossed, and the place where the priest's feet were standing in the riverbed, and they took 12 stones, talking about stones this morning, I guess, but they took 12 stones and they carried them out and they stacked them up on the other side when Canaan's land, where they crossed by near Jericho. You remember that? In Joshua chapter 4, he said, pass over before the ark, I'm in verse 5, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, take up every man of you a stone unto his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? And then you can answer them, and you can tell them how that the Lord cut off the waters of Jordan, and he provided a way for his people to go into the promised land on dry ground. God is all about memorials, isn't he? He's all about little reminders that are so important that we take note of. You know, certainly Jacob had a special occasion involving that stone. And what did he do? Brother James told you that when he woke up, he ended up taking that stone that he used as a sorry excuse for a pillow, but he ended up taking that stone and worshiping with it. And these stones here, did you notice that God didn't say, go out and build me some creation, go get a bunch of stonemasons and a bunch of craftsmen and artisans and build me an elaborate structure here to worship me? He said, no, just take some of these stones out of the river, leave them just like they are, and just come stack them up here. And he said, what is it going to do? It's going to provoke and stimulate conversation with your children. And every time the children see these, and they're going to ask you the question, what do these stones mean? I mean, it's going to be obvious even to a child that this is unusual. This is different. What does this mean? Here's a pile of stones here, a little pile where they're stacked up, 12 big stones. It said every man took a stone, put it on his shoulder, and they carried it over and they set it up there. God wanted to build a memorial to be a reminder for these children growing up. And I suspect they lasted a long time. You know, the thing about God is that when we worship God, We have to worship God in the manner that He prescribes that we worship Him. It's very important. We have to worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. It matters. Truth matters. I'm afraid there are a lot of the Lord's little children today in the denominational worlds today who maybe don't feel that way. They don't have the same amount of conviction that I do, and I hope that you do as well, that it matters how we worship the Lord and the things that we believe about God and the doctrines that we teach. We have to be teaching the doctrines contained in God's Word, and we need to take them as far as God's Word goes, and then we need to stop. When the Scriptures stop concerning a subject, we need to stop. We don't need to keep going and supposing and coming up with ideas. But it's important that we worship in the way God said to worship. You know, I'm talking about stones again. You remember right at the end of Exodus chapter 20? Remember where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and He listed out the Ten Commandments there in Exodus chapter 20? Right there at the very end of chapter 20, God says, and if you are going to make an altar to worship Me, He says, you'll take stone. You can take stones and make an altar. But He says, if you lift up your tool upon them, you have polluted them. He says, don't modify the stone. You just take the stone as you found it, and you can use that as an altar. But He says, if you try to modify it and you shape it in any way, if you touch it with any kind of a tool or hammer or chisel, He says, you've polluted the stone. He said, it's not worth, you can't use it to worship by. So it is important how we worship God. And God wants us to be sharing these things with one generation after another. He spoke of there in Deuteronomy 6, He spoke of three different generations that we may teach these things to our children. And then they in turn may turn around and teach those things unto their children. And the idea is that the chain keeps going and going and going. And the chain has been going ever since then. And hopefully is still going today. And that we are bringing our children to the Lord's house. And they may not understand everything that's said during the message that day. You know, when they're young, they won't understand everything. But they'll fool you also. Sometimes you'll think they'll be doodling on a little piece of paper or have some little something in their hand, and you think they're not really paying attention or listening, but sometimes after when you get home, they'll surprise you with what they heard. The children are amazing, and God knows this, and He knows their minds and how precious their minds are. And I believe that's why we see this over and over in God's Word. Another place that talks about this same thing is in Psalm 78. Here we have an author. The man's name is Asaph. And he was a song or a worship leader in David's day. And he wrote a number of psalms that are part of the Holy Scriptures. And in Psalms 78, Asaph wrote this. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I've said before, every time I read that word, incline thine ears, it makes me think of this, is that I'm supposed to turn and get a little bit closer so I can hear God's word, everything that's said. Incline your ears so that you can hear God's words and what's being said. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, passing this down from generation to generation. We will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come, it says shewing, but my mind reads it as showing for some reason. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. What is it that you and I should be sharing with our children and the little ones coming up? The greatness of God and all of His wonderful works and all of His miraculous providence that He's extended to His people all the days of our life. We should be sharing these things. We should be telling them. I wonder how many times that the Israelites told the story to their children about God bringing them out of Egypt. All of the plagues that happened, and they fell upon the Egyptians, but not on the Israelites. Over and over, God's providential care began to be spotlighted, and that how God brought them out with a mighty hand. He brought out this whole nation from under Egyptian bondage, brought them out, and eventually took them into Canaan's land. And they went into Canaan's land, and it was a beautiful land that God had prepared over there. And they had houses already built. They had wells that were already dug, vineyards already planted. Everything was ready. They just moved in and started living. Well, they had to run the people out. They had to defeat them and shove those heathen people out of there that God took the land from to give to His people. But look what was left. Everything was prepared for them. They had so much hard work that they were spared of because God was good to them. You know, in some ways, it kind of reminds me of the Lord's church, doesn't it? You know, when the Lord brings us out of natural, our human natural Egypt, so to speak, and He brings us out of that and He brings us into His promised land here, aren't you glad we don't have to come in here and try to build some kind of way to worship? It's already built. The wells of living water, they're already here. The vineyards of the rich grapes that the Lord feeds His people with, they're already here. Everything's already established. We just come in and start living. And we start living life and enjoying the blessings of God. We don't have to come in and invent the church. Jesus has already established the church. Our job is just to keep it going and try to support it and support the Lord's church and to be appreciative of it throughout all the days of our life and try to teach our children the value and the beauty of the Lord's house. And hopefully one day as we pass on, we leave it with them. And you know what the expectation is? They will teach their children the same things. And it goes as a perpetual, unbroken chain. Many of you had family members that were one time, they worshiped here in this church, didn't you? Many of you did. And of course, all of us, we had family members that are gone now, have gone home, but they worshiped in other of the Lord's churches. And then their parents before them. And that's how God expects us to do this. But Asaph is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. Asaph is writing this. He says, we're going to show the children the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He had done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. There you have it. Three generations again mentioned. That they might set their hope in God. You see the pattern? Three different generations mentioned again is the pattern. That's not the limit of it. That's just a pattern that's given in the scriptures of how this continues from generation to generation about teaching about the Lord and about all His wonderful works and showing them from all these different generations. And why? What is the reason we do that? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I'm afraid a lot of the Lord's little children today have maybe forgotten about some of the works of the Lord. You know, Brother James mentioned how oftentimes we may not even realize, we may not even appreciate the fact that the Lord may be standing next to us, or He may be walking with us, and we might not even really realize it because we're not thinking about Him. But He often does. And our hope, we want our children to grow up and that their hope be placed in the Lord, because they know of some of the things that He's done and the great ways of salvation that He's brought to His people throughout all of these generations. Was He there in Abraham's day? Yes. And Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Joseph, all of these Bible characters down through the ages, all throughout the New Testament. Was the Lord with His people? Always. Isaiah said that we enjoy the benefits and the protection of a covert from the wind, the shadow of a great rock. Friends, that great rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the Lord, He can cause water to flow out of a rock. The question was asked later on in Psalm 78, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He was referring back to when the Israelites were out in the desert wandering around because of disobedience. And the question came up, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can He fashion a feast and set it before you out of nothing? He absolutely can, because He's God, and He does it all the time. Doesn't God set a table for us when we come to His house? It feels like that He has set a great and a bountiful feast before us each and every time when we come to the house of the Lord. I hope that you and I can remember these things that these writers have told us and that the Holy Spirit has inspired to be written about the importance of teaching our little ones. I hope that in our lifetime, by the way we conduct ourselves and the way we go in and out of the Lord's house, I hope that we're setting up some little stones, some little unseen stones, kind of imaginary stones in a way, that these little ones growing up are seeing what we're doing, and they're seeing us observe communion. They're seeing us washing the saints' feet and all of these things, and they're seeing the worship services and the importance of coming to the Lord's house. I hope we're, in a way, setting up some little stones here that we can leave for the generation to come. I believe that's what the Lord would have us all be thinking about, is how good He's been to us, and that we might be able to share these things with succeeding generations. If the Lord would continue to bless us and He'd continue to strengthen us, we'll all be able to do that. May God bless and keep you this morning.